My topic is our worth to God. And it has really warmed my heart as I've prepared for this talk together. Ladies, I wonder how many of you have ever created something really special. You've spent many long hours making something. Maybe it was an embroidered tablecloth. Maybe it was a knitted baby shawl. Maybe it was a patchwork quilt. Something that took you many hours. And because of that, it was valuable. And I guess because of that, perhaps because of that, you gave it to someone that you really loved as an expression of your love. I can remember as a girl embroidering an apron. My mother was away for 15 months and Saturday by Saturday I got this apron out and I carefully sewed all these stitches and chose all the colours, and it took me about a year before I finished that apron. And you know, I gave it to a friend who was like an auntie to me, a friend that I really loved, and it was really an expression, almost part of myself, when I actually finished it and wrapped it up and gave it to her. You know, not long after that, she died. And I went to her relative, she had no children, who was sorting out her clothes, and I said, look, there's one thing I wonder if you would give me. And I told them about this apron that had taken me a year to make. And you know, they gladly gave it back to me. Then I gave it to my mother, and she wore it for many years. You know, when she died, I said to my brother and sister, there's one thing I'd like. I'd like that apron back. And you know, now I wear it. And I have to give it to one of my daughters one of these days, but it's precious to me. It's valuable to me because I made it. I created it. Ladies, you and I were created by God. We are precious to Him. We are created special. And I'd just like to read you from Psalm 139. For you created my innermost being. You, this is verse 13 and 14. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. This night in the early hours of the morning, the door of my bedroom opened and someone jumped on my bed. 22, with the news that a little grandson had just been born up in Mount Isa. And there was great rejoicing. Every birth is a miracle. I thought of that little baby. I'd been praying. I hadn't slept. I knew it was coming. It was due actually on the 30th of September. So we'd been waiting many days for this little precious life. But at last it had arrived. And I thought of all that had been going on in the womb, how God had knit the nervous system, the blood system, the digestive system, you think of the skeleton, the muscles, all marvellously knit together. And you know, my son, who's not very demonstrative, said, he was just beside himself, he said, it's a beautiful baby, beautiful baby. And each birth is a miracle, isn't it? We are created by the Almighty God. We are wonderfully designed. You know, God created the animals too, and they're incredible. But we are different. We were not only created by God, but we were created in His image. God is a personal God and He has made us persons like Himself. We were created in the image and in the likeness of God. Like God, we can think, we can feel, we can create, we can talk, we can think, we can act. We are like Him. You know, ladies, He made this as an expression of His love, to know and to love Him. He wants us to respond to Him. He loved to commune with Adam. He loved to commune with men. Adam, and you know, it amazes me to think of this. God desires our friendship. Abraham was called the friend of God, wasn't he? And you know, the Lord, when He was on earth, said, I've called you my friend. as I think of my worth to God, it just amazes me that God values my friendship. God values your friendship. I was at a seminar once with about 250 Anglican ministers, and we had to write down the names of people who would regard us as their friends. You know, that was quite searching. People who would regard us as their friends. And after a little while, the speaker said, "How many of you wrote down Jesus?" You know, to our shame, not one of us had. Not one of us had. And yet he says to us, "I have called you my friends." He values us. He desires our friendship. What do we mean to God? You know, as I read in the Genesis account, when God looked down from earth, he saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In Proverbs, I read of God rejoicing in his whole world and actually delighting in mankind. You know, God is interested in everything he's made. He didn't just create us and retreat. He made us, and he wants to know, and he cares for us. You know, a while back I was at a friend's place, and she said to me, "My son has got so many clothes, I'm having trouble shutting the drawers, and I've asked him to clean out his wardrobe and drawers and give you a bag of clothes to pass on to some of the students at Emmaus." And you know, this lad came down with a couple of plastic bags. And then he went back up to the room, and he came back with a beautiful hand-knitted jumper. And his mother looked at it, and I could see pain in those eyes. And he gave it to me. And you know, he said, "Can somebody use that?" I said, "There's some students from PG, they're ready for any cold." "I'm sure they can." But the mother said, just a minute, not that one. And she took it back. She said, "I know someone who would really appreciate it. I've got someone in mind to give it to." You see, she had created that. She just didn't want to lose track of it. It was valuable to her. God didn't create us and just lose track of us and forget about us. No. You know, he said, "I know every bird on every mountain." Just think of that. Probably hear birds now. But God knows every bird on every mountain throughout the world. He created them. They're valuable to him. And God says not one sparrow falls to the ground, but he knows. And he cares. And then he goes on to say, "You are much more valuable than many sparrows." God knows so much about us. "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise." How many times have we sat down and got up today even? Can you remember? Have you taken any account of that? God has. "You discern my going out and my lying down. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty to attain to." Isn't that incredible? God knows when we lie down, he knows what we're thinking even. And he lays his hand upon us in protection, and sometimes he lays a heavy hand on us to arrest us when we're going the wrong way. He's not a God afar off, is he? You know, I was reading in Job the other day, and he asked this question, "What is a man that you make so much of him, that you give him so much attention, O watcher of men?" So much attention. You make so much of him. And Job calls him the watcher of men. I have a little granddaughter 2 years old, and I mind her every Thursday night and Friday morning. And you know, my other daughter, who's 22, gets quite annoyed. She said, "Mum, you just give her so much attention. You never let her out of your sight. You talk to her all the time." Why? Because that little girl is very, very precious to me. Why does God watch you, watch us? Why does God give us so much attention? Why do you matter so much to him? Ladies, because he loves you. He cares for you. And you are precious to him. Isn't that thrilling? Just thinking, what else? Our worth to God. I was just thinking, how else do we know that we're valuable to him? You know, we find that he is continually thinking about us. Now, when you love someone, they're often in your thoughts, aren't they? Can you remember when you were, many of you were married, and can you think you were engaged, and as the date drew near for you to be married, how often you thought of that loved one? How precious, precious thoughts. And God says, David could say rather, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. Isn't that incredible? Just think of the number of grains of the sand on this beach down here at Tupi. Just think of the number of grains of sand worldwide. And yet David could say, God's thoughts towards him outnumbered the grains of the sands of the sea. And he also said they were precious thoughts. God has created us in his image. And he thinks precious thoughts about you and me. You know, God knows and thinks about us, and he also understands. Great is the Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Ladies, do you often feel that nobody understands you? You know, that's really true. Nobody really can understand another person. Nobody really knows our thoughts and our motives, our pain, our joy. But God does. Does he who planted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Does he who teaches men lack knowledge? The Lord knows the thoughts of men. He knows that they are futile. Lord, ladies, he knows all our worries. He knows, he understands. His understanding has no limit. And so, because God created us, we see that he thinks precious thoughts, he's continually watching us, he knows us through and through. Ladies, you and I are of great worth to him. Now, not only did God create us, not only were we created by him, ladies, but we were created for him. Think of that. We were created, and it tells us in Colossians, we were created by him and for him. God wants us to know and to love. God wants us to reflect that image, his image. Our worth to God, you know, God, we are worth so much to God that he cares. He feels we are worth caring for. He feels we are worth loving. Have you ever said of someone, heard somebody say, oh, she's not worth wasting her time on? You know, God is not like that. He loves and he cares us for us. Remember in Luke he said, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and yet not one of them falls to the ground without my Father knows? And not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. We think of the bird. You know, we were driving along some time back and a bird flew right into the windscreen. My first thought was, is the windscreen broken? Isn't that terrible? Didn't worry about the bird. It was dead for sure. You know, God saw that bird. He'd made it. He cared about that bird. He cares about every bird, and he cares much more about you. Even as he says, the very hairs of your head and mine are numbered. We read elsewhere that God knows all the stars and he calls them all by name. We have an incredible God. Incredible God. Think of all the billions of stars. And he knows each one by name. And each one of your hairs in your head are also numbered. And he said he doesn't forget one sparrow. Maybe you, lady, someone here feels forgotten by someone. Maybe you feel forgotten by your family. Maybe you feel forgotten by an old friend. Ladies, there is one person who will never forget you. Because you are precious to him. You are never forgotten by God. Listen to his words. I have upheld you since you were conceived. Think of that. And have carried you since birth. I will be your God throughout your lifetime. Even when your hair is white with age, I made you and I will care for you. I made you and I will carry you. Tremendous words. He cares for us even till death, because we read later on, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Peter tells us to cast all our care, our anxieties upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. In the Old Testament, we read of the Lord and says, in all his people's afflictions, he was afflicted. He felt, he feels, he knows, he understands, he cares what you are going through. You are of great value to him. We read he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God himself is caring for you. God himself. There is no greater person. And he emphasises with the reflexive pronoun, God himself is caring for you. He protects you night and day. He keeps you from all evil and preserves your life. He keeps his eye on you as you come and go and always guards you. Now, sometimes we sing, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. That's so true. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. How much he cares for me, because he created you. You are of great worth to him. You know, God speaks to you. God speaks to us. He feels we are worth speaking to. Sometimes we hear people say she's not worth speaking to. God feels we are worth speaking to. And he's given us this book, full of his words to us. Words of love. Words of encouragement, like we've just read together. Words of guidance. Words of warning. God values us so much that he has given us this book. We read that in Hebrews, in the past times God spoke unto our fathers through the prophets at many times and in many various ways. God speaks to us, ladies. You are worth speaking to. He has a message for you and he wants you to listen. He wants us to listen to what he's saying. O my people, listen, for I am your God. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. You know, some of the saddest words in the Bible are these following. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them. This is the children of Israel. God sent word to the children of Israel through his messengers again and again. Because he had pity on them, on his people. But they mocked God's messengers. They despised his words. They scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord was aroused and there was no remedy. Solemn words, aren't they? God sent to his people again and again. He spoke to them, but most of them refused. They despised, they mocked. They rejected his word. How sad. And until in the end there was no remedy, God had to punish them and they went into captivity. But in these last days, ladies, God has spoken to us. God has spoken to you through his Son. He has sent his Son, and Jesus is the living Word of God. Now, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one of us. We've all turned to our own way. But God hasn't given us up. He sent his Son. You know, ever since Adam disobeyed God, each one of us has wanted to run our own lives, haven't we? We want to do our own thing. We reject God's authority over us. We are alienated from the life of God. You know, we are alienated from each other. We can't control ourselves. We're so often so full of bitterness and resentment and jealousy and anger. We can't control ourselves. We can't control our society. We think of all the violence. We think of all the wars. We can't control our world, how polluted our environment is. You know, God's image is marred. When Adam sinned, that image of God was marred. God's image is marred in us. But he wants to restore that image. He wants to make us into the likeness of his Son. And because of his love, he sent his Son into this world. His Son was without blemish and without spot. He came to, you know, he came to take our punishment. We've been listening to that by dying for us. He took our place. He suffered for you. He was sinless and spotless. But he himself bore our sins. He himself bore your sins in his body on the tree. He bore our sins so that we might come back to a relationship with God. Ladies, God felt that you were worth, Jesus felt that you were worth suffering for. God loved you so much that he felt you were worth dying for. He is, you know, we are doubly his. We are his by creation. And we are his by redemption. We have been bought at a tremendous price, the blood of his Son. We are doubly precious to God. 1 it was given a beautiful picture book about this size, a lovely fairy book, and had every third page was absolutely magnificent illustrations. It was given to me when we were travelling back from Melbourne to Sydney. We were coming back to live in this state as a small child, and I really valued that book. I treasured it. And when I went to New Guinea, that's one book I didn't take. I didn't want it to get mildewed and ruined. When I came back from New Guinea, I tried to find that book, and we'd left bits and pieces everywhere, and it had gone. I couldn't find it. Many, many times I hunted for that book. And you know, one day I was in a relative's house and I mentioned about this book. And she said, oh, but I've got it. I bought it. I said, you what? You bought it? And you know, another of my relatives had had a garage sale. and they'd got, which we told them to get rid of a lot of old stuff. And they'd seen some old books and they didn't realise that treasure was in the middle of those old books. And another relative had bought it. And I said, but it's mine. I want it. I've been looking for years for that book. And you know, that lady didn't want to give it to me because she bought it and it was valuable. She realised how beautiful it was. But eventually she let me buy it back. I bought it back. And I have that book by my bed today. And my little granddaughter and I often look at it. with great pleasure. That book is doubly precious to me. It was mine and I bought it back. Ladies, you are doubly precious to God. You are His. You were created by Him. And He has gone at such length. He has done everything He can to buy you back. He has bought you back. What are you worth to God? You know, the value of an object is determined by the price. You are bought with the blood of the Son of God. That's the price. Your value is beyond words. It is beyond price. You know, God wants us to turn from our sin. He wants us to turn from our selfishness and return to Him and accept His Son. And you know, if He says, He gives us a wonderful promise. He says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. You will be my daughter, says the Lord God Almighty. Sometimes you may not feel very valuable, ladies. Sometimes you may not feel very worthwhile or worth much. You know, the truest thing about you is what God says about you, not what you feel. Never forget that. The truest thing about you is what God says about you. We are special, we are valuable because we are created by the Almighty God of this universe. We are special because we are loved and we are daughters of the King of Kings. We are daughters of the Lord God Almighty. You know, He calls us something. He calls us His treasure. Do you ever call a little child a treasure? God calls you His daughter. But you know, there are daughters and daughters, aren't there? But God calls you His treasured daughter. I'd like to look at a couple of verses in the Old Testament. Now, Israel was called. Then just see what God called Israel, His chosen people. He said, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be His treasured possession. God had chosen Israel to be His treasured possession. Now the word there is an unusual word there. It's called Sekula in the Hebrew. Sekula. Now, in these times, the kings that reigned had absolute power and wealth. They owned everything, the kings of the time and the land. But they also had personal possessions. And in a box by the throne, the king would put his most valuable possessions, his gold, his silver, his jewels. And they were always by the throne. His treasured possession by his side, his Sekula. God said of the people of Israel, you are my Sekula. Three times in Deuteronomy he calls them this. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples of the face of the earth to be his people. His treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and chose you because you were more numerous than the other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you. Because the Lord loved you, he chose them to be his Sekula. And again, the Lord has declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possession. As we come over to the New Testament, there's a different word. Of course, the New Testament was written in Greek. But listen to what God says about, listen to God, what God says. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify himself a people that are his very own. his treasured possession. The Lord came to redeem us, and he says we are a people that are his very own, his treasured possession, his sukkah. And then Peter goes on, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We are God's sukkah, God's treasured possession. Isn't that wonderful? What are we worth to God? We are daughters of the King of Kings. We are treasured daughters. We are his treasure. You know, in Malachi, we read about this word sukkah again. And the Lord talks of the people that feared him, that talked and thought upon his name. And he says, in the days, they will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. In the King James, it used to be, in the day when I make up my jewels. How many of us used to sing, when he cometh, to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Ladies, the word is sukkah, his treasured possession. What are we worth to God? We are his treasured possession. He's coming. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and one day he's coming to take us to himself. He values us. Ladies, do you value him? We'll be looking at that later. What does he mean to us? We mean everything to him. He wants to restore in us. He has chosen you, ladies, to restore in you, to restore in me, the image of his Son. We were created in his likeness. We were created in that image. And that has been so distorted and marred that God didn't give up. And he wants to recreate now that image of his Son in us. Let's give him our all. Doesn't it cause us to worship when we think how precious we are to God? You know that I often think of that song, Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me in deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed. Life of Jesus shining through, bringing glory unto you. For this purpose, ladies, you and I were designed.